This is One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
Here we are. It's Thursday. We're getting close. And so is the snow.
Let's go.
As we'll get into in just a second, along with some practice updates for you, among other things. Steve, last night, I am at Wegmans with my wife, as we needed to pick up a few items. This wasn't a panic. Oh, my God, we got to go to the grocery store. It's just like, all right, we're light on a little food in case we get marooned at home for a day or two. Let's just make sure we have a couple of the essentials, you know. Steve, I get there.
$600 later, you walk out of there?
No. Steve, I'm there last night at the grocery store. There's two loaves of bread in the entire bread aisle.
Oh,
okay?
There you go.
I go to the fridge, you know, dairy section. Mm-hmm. There's no gallons of milk left, only half gallons, which is fine because it's just two of us at the house. Grab my milk. There's no eggs. Steve, this is not Armageddon.
I know.
It's a snowstorm.
We're going to be...
Western New York knows what goes on in these situations. But
here's the thing,
Steve,
Brownie,
there's
though.
No bread.
Here's the thing.
I'm convinced for the next 72 hours, people are going to be eating egg salad sandwiches, apparently, because there's no eggs or milk anywhere to be found.
Brownie, don't you get it, though? It's fun to go out and hoard stuff for the oncoming
snowstorm. How much bread do you need?
I know. It's so fun, though, to go get, oh, it's going to be so fun. Everybody's all excited. Listen, I said it yesterday. We were in the control room.
I couldn't believe it.
People, the crew out there, and Tom, Jeff, Jay, me, Shannon, we're all out there, George. The energy was palpable because you could see a snow day coming.
Okay, fine. Everybody
was giddy with
Steve.
The fact that we're all going to be out, we're going to be staying home. Oh, it's going to be
Steve.
And so everybody's going to go out and get some stuff so they're all ready to hunker down. It's fun.
We are seasoned veterans at this stuff. People of Western New York, you know what I'm talking about. You know that you make proper preparations.
Yeah.
But panic buying at the grocery store,
hold
on. That is not us.
That's not us.
This is what people do in Atlanta.
When
there's 2 inches of snow.
Here's the thing, though.
And there's no bread left.
I'm telling you right now, I think you got the wrong take on this because I think this is not panic buying. This is like just as fun. This is going to be, it's going to be great. People are excited about being like everybody's staying home from work tomorrow because it's going to snow. We've done it. We're planning tomorrow
doing
the show from our houses.
I was very surprised.
I don't think anybody's panicking. I think they're like, ooh, it's like snow day, man. It's the best.
All right.
That's what it is.
I don't know why you need five loaves of bread in your house, though.
You don't.
I was mystified.
It's fun to spend the money getting ready for a snow day, though.
My wife is born and raised in Buffalo. Like, I'm looking at her going. I said, this is new. This is a new thing.
Yeah.
Listen, there was no bread.
I told you, too, we've been looking forward to this weekend because the crew's coming in for the game, right? I mean, we've got 26
tickets.
The 26 tickets we got for the
Alaska
game.
Showing right, up
exactly.
For this game.
So they started showing up today. And, you know, they kind of bust in the door. You know, our house is like a saloon.
We're here.
Yeah, our house is like a saloon with swinging doors. They're like, bust in the barroom door. So they come in, and everybody's getting in today. And
it's a good thing.
Yeah. But
not that Alaskans don't know snow either.
Right. So it's kind of that gearing up for the big weekend. The Bills game's happening. It's a home game, big snowstorm. People are already bailing. People are trying to get rid of their tickets because, you know, some people, and I get it, it's not an indictment on your fanship if you want to unload tickets on a game like this might be, like the one in Indianapolis. That is not an indictment. It is a little bit of a badge of honor for those people who got their season tickets, they go to the game, they sit there, and as we've seen the pictures, covered, literally covered in snow, freezing. But they're there. I mean, that is a little bit of an honor badge, but it is, and to me, it is no indictment if you say, listen, is there anybody else who wants to go to this game? Because I've been there, done that kind of thing, right?
Sure.
So for me, this weekend,
there's a novelty appeal.
Yeah, but you know what? You and I got no choice. We're here no matter what.
That's right.
But this crew, with the crew in, it there ain't nobody bailing. We got, you know, we all got, it's all hands on deck. We got to make it happen no matter what the conditions are. So, and there's a little bit of that that goes on in all these games. But this is one of those games where you kind of like, okay, you got some decisions to make. You know, even the most ardent Bills fans, you got some decisions you got to make. Like, okay, what's this going to look like? Are we going to do this? Are we going to eat the tickets, get rid of the tickets? Or are we going to, like, suck it up and go, baby? You know?
Good.
You got to make those decisions. And when are we going to go? How's this going to look? Are we going to be able to get in? You got some question marks. And some questions have to be answered before you can make those decisions. But, you know, this is one of those Buffalo games where it's like, okay, how are the veterans going to handle this?
Yeah.
You know, how are we going to do this, folks? Or what's it going to look like? And it's going to be a different game because this
well,
is not for the
– I don't know
this,
if it will be.
It might not be. You're right. You're exactly right. We don't know that yet. But if it's going to be one of these Indianapolis games of a couple of years ago, it's going to be like, you know what? You got to – this is not for the faint of heart.
It is not for the faint of heart. Because Mike Sica, who we had on yesterday, meteorologist for Channel 4 here locally, he said basically the snow event is ending prior to kickoff.
Not only that, it's like 1 a.m. Saturday. It's like at midnight on Friday night.
So fortunately for our coworkers and the great stadium ops people that work here, there will be a window of time for them to conduct hardcore snow removal without the fear of more snow piling up right behind it.
All they need is a place to put it.
And really, I think the biggest issue surrounding the game on Sunday is travel safety of the respective teams, mm-hmm. both the home team getting to the stadium, much shorter travel, mm-hmm. obviously, than the Cleveland Browns and their staff and players and coaches. So it's travel to and from the stadium, safety of the fans getting to and from the stadium, and proper snow removal to allow enough parking for the fans that are able to get here.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the main issues around the game, more so than what the conditions in the game are, because as Mike Sica told us yesterday, the snow is largely supposed to – the lake effect snow machine is supposed to be turned off at some point on Saturday, maybe even as much as 24 hours before the game. That's a lot of time.
Right.
For the snow removal experts around here to get rid of what could be upwards of 2 feet of snow. It's not really a major thing. This is what they do.
Yeah, everybody knows we can handle it here. The question is, the only problem is, if it's timed wrong, you can't do anything. We're done. You know, you can't do anything about it. That's
the timing is showing there should be time.
There should be. So that's what they're kind of looking at.
And no snow during the game, at least for now, from what we're seeing.
It may have a snow squall
here or there.
Right. They say it may start like right at game time. It may start snowing a little bit, but that will be
after a
long pause. So, yeah, that's what we're looking at.
And just so everybody that's out of town knows that might be listening or watching, there's snow squalls right now here in Orchard Park, but there is nothing measurable on the ground of any kind or sort. That's not really supposed to happen until tonight.
I'm 12 minutes or 13 minutes, 15 minutes east of the stadium, straight east of the stadium. We got 4 or 5 inches.
Right. And down in Cataraugus in Chautauqua County, they got snow overnight.
We got 2 or 3.
Yeah. Down in Chautauqua and Cataraugus County, they got snow overnight because that's where the snow warning was.
Right.
Now it shifts to Buffalo. As we look at the stadium, that is a tarp covering the field, obviously, for the snowfall that is anticipated. But as you can see on the seats, there's no accumulation of any kind here in Orchard Park as we speak.
I'll say this
right now.
It's cold. We were out watching practice
a minute ago. Oh, it's snowmaking weather.
I was like, oh, baby. It was cold. We're both of us got hoodies on. I'm not going anywhere. It's cold.
I got my Arctic gear going today.
But it's, I think, here's my gut feeling. We don't have any information. We don't know anything about anything. But our experience of being here for 3 decades and being through the Indianapolis snow game and, mm-hmm. and it's November and all of that stuff. This is a game. The game's going to take place, and it's going to go off right at 1 o'clock, and there'll be fans in the stands.
And just so everybody knows, Friday is being forecast by the meteorologists as the worst day of the snow event. It's going to last into Saturday, but Friday is when the heaviest amounts of snowfall are supposed to happen, 2 to 3 inches an hour, that kind of stuff. And I'm telling you, most of the models are saying 23 to 24 inches in the heaviest snow bands. You know, these national media outlets that are taking it and running with it and saying 4 feet, 6 feet. No. We're not seeing that right now. No. We're seeing 2 feet at the top end.
It's clickbait. We're going to get snow over the weekend. We're going to get it. It's going to start sometime like tonight or tomorrow. And it's going to go all the way till early Saturday, and then we'll see what happens. We'll reset.
And the team is practicing outside on their grass field today to get used to the elements because it is windy. As we said, there are some snow squalls going on right now, flurries on and off, but nothing they can't practice in. And so they're outside practicing today. And it is time for your Bills practice update presented by LECOM, your Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine. And as we told you yesterday, there were 5 players who missed practice due to illness. So here's your illness update. Those 5 players who missed due to illness yesterday were Reggie Gilliam, Jordan Phillips, Tim Settle, Matt Milano, and Cam Lewis. Here on Thursday, Matt Milano is back practicing, and so too is Tim Settle, although we'll have to see his level of participation because Tim Settle did not have pads on for practice today, and it is a padded practice, so he might be limited. But he was back, as was Matt Milano, and Reggie Gilliam, who was back ready to practice after missing yesterday due to illness. Still not in attendance, presumably due to the same illness, Cam Lewis and Jordan Phillips. So we'll have to wait for the Thursday injury report to see exactly what's going on with those two guys and whether or not they did, in fact, miss a second day of practice, but they were not out there during the media viewing portion of practice. Other injury notes to mention: Tremaine Edmonds not practicing for a second straight day, as well as Greg Rousseau and Jake Kumerow. Rousseau and Kumerow have week-to-week ankle injuries. Edmonds is dealing with a groin injury, considered day-to-day, but not practicing, at least was not out there during the media viewing portion of practice again today. And then a new addition to the injury report, Ed Oliver. He was out there with his teammates doing stretch, but he was not dressed for practice. No pads, no helmet. So we'll have to find out what that's about when the Thursday injury report comes out later this afternoon. So those are your Bills practice updates presented by your Lake Erie College of Osteopathic Medicine.
If you start getting into what this game might look like, if it's a horrible weather game, it obviously levels the playing field. You got, the Bills offense is number 2 in the league scoring and all that. The Cleveland defense is 31st in the league in points allowed. That's going to narrow that gap.
Right.
That's what you worry about as a Bills fan. The Bills are first in yards per play, first in third down percentage, fifth in big plays per game. Cleveland is, 31st. They're 25th in yards per play, 18th in your third down conversion, 30th in big plays allowed. So it's going to even the playing field. That's what you worry about. When you have a really good team, anything that makes you go out of the ordinary in your play calling, play selection, what players are able to do, it's a problem. And the Bills are a really good team going into a bad weather game. So it's never any fun. I mean, the players might enjoy it. It's a lot of fun to play in stuff, bad weather. But I think it's a concern.
It was
going to be hard to score points.
I listened to people feel like if there's snow on the field and it's actually – and, accumulating snow on the field and it's actively snowing advantage Browns because of their run game. I would submit Josh Allen runs the football pretty well. Nick Chubb, I was listening to his press conference with the Cleveland media yesterday. He has never played in snow. Obviously, he's a University of Georgia product. He is a Georgia native, born and raised. He has seen snow, but he has never played in snow. So he said, I'm just going to have to take it as it comes. If, in fact, there is snow on the ground, it's accumulating, it's on the field, et cetera. But I don't know that that's going to be the case. As we said earlier, the snow event here that is forecast for tonight into Friday is supposed to stop by Saturday. And that should conceivably, without any more significant snowfall, give the stadium ops crew enough time to clear snow from the field and have the field ready to roll on Sunday at 1 o'clock. So that's what we're anticipating. We'll obviously keep you updated, not only today, but tomorrow when the snow should be falling. The highest snow total that I've seen forecasted is possibly 3 feet in the heaviest snow band areas. I've seen nothing over that. So to me, that's stuff that people in our area can handle without so much as a blink of the eye. So that's kind of where I'm at on that. I don't know if you feel differently, Steve.
No, it's never easy, and it's going to take, you know, a yeoman's effort by everybody who's doing the snow removal and all that, and they'll have to have, you know, theoretically.
There's a lot of heavy equipment here. I'm just going
to
say that.
But, you know, you got to have people to do it and experienced people, and they should have some guys. It hasn't been that long since the last time they had to do it, so we'll see.
One other roster transaction to bring you up to speed on. The Bills signed defensive end Kingsley Jonathan back to the practice squad and released veteran offensive lineman Greg Manns from the practice squad. If you remember, Kingsley Jonathan was an undrafted rookie out of Syracuse. He was with the Bills through the course of the offseason, and he was signed to the team's practice squad at the beginning of the season. But he was taken off of the Bills practice squad, signed away to the active roster by the Chicago Bears. But then the Bears just released him this past week, so the Bills scooped him up, put him back on their practice squad today, released Greg Manns to create room for him on the practice squad for Jonathan. So another pass rusher back in the fold for the Bills. I know they liked some of the flashes of ability that he demonstrated, so pretty good that he's back in the fold. I know they wanted to develop him further, so an opportunity for them to do that as a rookie, and you know he gets to gain some experience. Other news around the NFL and around the NFL every week is presented by Kaleida Health, the official healthcare system of the Buffalo Bills. It looks like Ja'Marr Chase, who is trying to return from a hip injury, is targeting week 12 to do that. So not this week, but next week for the Bengals' number one wideout. That's a big loss in their lineup, obviously, on the offensive side of the ball. So we'll see if he can stick to that timetable and come back. The Rams, Steve, are expecting quarterback Matthew Stafford to clear concussion protocol and be ready to play against the Saints on Sunday. And speaking of the Saints, they are sticking with Andy Dalton as their starting quarterback. They are not going back to Jameis Winston. Winston apparently has lost his job to injury, you know, suffers an injury and then loses his job in the process. Andy Dalton threw two picks last week, so the calls were going up, hey, put Winston back in.
Right.
You know, if this guy's not doing it, go to the other guy. If that guy, go to the other guy.
Does that surprise you?
I mean, that they're staying with Dalton?
Yeah.
I don't think that it matters all that much,
well,
quite frankly.
Well, it might not. The fact that Dalton threw a couple of picks kind of doesn't flow with this, but Jameis Winston, that's always been the knock on him, is his turnovers.
Mm-hmm. But now you got this guy turning it
right
over. The Red Rifle's turning it over, too.
You got a defensive-minded head coach that may go into this where he says, listen, I don't know.
And their defense hasn't performed up to expectations either.
Yeah.
So it's all gone sideways in New Orleans, and I don't see it getting any better. Not to the point where they're going to be able to contend for a playoff spot, but maybe
that,
they go on a run. I don't know.
That division is not real.
Well, no, but Tampa's going to win the division, I think we can all comfortably say at this point in time.
Yeah.
They've kind of come out of their funk, and they're playing better. Thursday night football, Titans, Packers, and it looks like the Packers are going to get wide receiver Randall Cobb back in the lineup. He is expected to be activated from injured reserve and play tonight against the Titans. Wow. So that's a welcome return, a veteran back in the lineup at the receiving position for the Green Bay Packers. You got to believe Aaron Rodgers is happy about that. He was like campaigning for them to bring him back to the roster last year, if you remember, and then they did in fact sign him to kind of appease the MVP. So looks like he will be up and dressed to play tonight for the Packers against the Titans. And I got to tell you right now, wouldn't mind if the Packers beat the Titans. That would help the Bills, obviously.
Yes, it would.
In the AFC conference race, because it would not only help in terms of worsening the Titans' overall record, it would give the Bills a common game opponent that they have a win against and the Titans would have a loss against in the Packers.
Yeah, that's big. That's big. Because the way this is coming down, it's going to be another.
You're rooting for the Packers tonight if you're a Bills fan.
It's going to be another season where there's going to be a ton of teams right there for the one seed or the two seed or home playoff games and all of that.
And then we were talking about this yesterday, Steve. The Washington Commanders had a decision to make as to who their starting quarterback was going to be going forward, with Carson Wentz healthy enough coming off a ring finger injury on his throwing hand to play. He was the starter before he got injured, but Taylor Heinicke just beat the undefeated Eagles on Monday night And head coach Ron Rivera has decided that they are going to start Taylor Heinicke again this week against the Texans. And playing against that Texans defense, he should have some success. If Washington takes care of business and wins, it's logical to think that Heinicke will start the next week.
Right. I mean, how do you – yeah, exactly. How do you beat the only undefeated team in the league at 8-0 in the Philadelphia Eagles with Jalen Hurts playing great and their defense playing great, the Philadelphia Eagles flying high? You beat them with Taylor Heinicke. How do you think you're not going to go to Houston and beat Davis Mills?
I don't know how you sit him down again.
Right.
After beating that team.
You got it.
So I think he keeps playing as long as they keep winning. That's probably how it's going to go, right?
Or yeah, I don't know how long his leash will be. I don't know the inner workings.
Well, it's at least as long as he keeps winning.
Sure, if he keeps winning. I'm thinking about what if he has a bad half.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know?
Well, I think if they're still winning the game and he has a bad half, he's probably still playing.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know. I mean, they're in the race now. So
that's right.
If Ron Rivera sees it going the wrong way and it could cost him the game, yeah, I could see him making a switch. That's a good point that you bring up, Steve. Yeah,
well, they're kind of in it. They're 5-5.
They're half game out of the last playoff spot.
Right, but they're fourth in their division. I mean, they're like the Patriots in the AFC East. Every team in that – the NFC East, AFC East are just beating people.
Yeah.
Everybody. All of them.
This was actually in our notes this week, Steve. There have been three seasons, because we were talking about this yesterday. Right now, all four AFC East teams would make the playoffs if the season ended today, and three of the four teams in the NFC East would make the playoffs, with Washington just a half game out of the last playoff spot. So there have been three seasons in which four teams or more, because in the old days there used to be five teams in each division,
right,
if you remember. There have been three seasons in which four-plus teams from a single division made the playoffs. 1988, the AFC East, everybody made the playoffs except for Indy, because they had five teams. But four teams made the playoffs in 88 from the AFC – or, sorry, 98 from the AFC East. The Jets, the Dolphins, the Bills, and New England. As a matter of fact, that year the Bills came back from an 0-3 start to make the playoffs at 10-6. 1997, the NFC Central – which back then was Green Bay, Tampa Bay, Detroit, and Minnesota made the playoffs. Chicago did not. And in 1994, the NFC Central again. Minnesota, Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago made the playoffs. Tampa did not. So right now, your AFC East and NFC East standings, every team has at least a .500 record or better. Pretty crazy. Seven of the eight teams in playoff position, as we mentioned. The last time all four teams in a single division were above .500 at the end of Week 10, like the NFC East is right now, was the 2016 NFC East. It's the same division 6 years ago.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and now they got two divisions sitting there with the AFC and the NFC East.
Yes.
That's pretty amazing. And I think that, you know, one of the byproducts of that is the fact that these teams haven't played each other yet. The Bills, you know.
Yeah, I think, as you said earlier,
the Bills got to run the table in that division.
Just by virtue of the fact that they're hitting each other, they're going to be playing each other, they're going to be knocking each other off.
Right.
And so if some team kind of hits the skids here, they are going to slip below .500 and probably out of the playoff race, certainly in the AFC. You're under .500 in the AFC, you don't have a chance. Yeah, these division games are going to be gigantic. It is Buffalo's road to the division title, winning their four remaining division games. Got to do it. There's really no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You got to win all your division games that are left.
I mean, that's the way you got to think about it right now in Week 11. Certainly, there's a ton of permutations because these teams all have to play each other as well. The Jets, the Dolphins, and the Patriots all have to play each other as well.
And it'll be much the same in the NFC.
Right. They can knock each other down and knock each other out. So that you may not have to do it, but from right here, sitting here at this point in the season, that's a must.
Yeah.
It's a must. You're 0-2 in the division.
Got some ground to make up for sure. Because right now you don't have head-to-head tiebreakers on the Dolphins or the Jets. So, yeah, you got to win your remaining division games, all four of them. Sweep New England, beat the Jets, beat the Dolphins. Got to do it and finish 4-2 in the division if you want to have a chance of winning the AFC East. Got a full show for you today here on Thursday. We'll get our weekly visit from ESPN fantasy football guru Field Yates. He will be joining us in about 7 minutes' time. Second hour of the show, in studio, the Hall of Famer, Thurman Thomas, joining us. And then final half hour of the show, a little over an hour from now, Wall of Famer Daryl Talley is going to join us, as he is this week's legend of the game. So let me get this straight. We're going to have three Wall of Famers on the show, counting you, of course, and one Hall of Famer. That's a pretty good lineup, I'd say.
Yeah, fair to middle.
Not too shabby Darryl for a Thursday in Week 11.
Daryl would have been here. He's visiting home in Cleveland.
Yeah, we're going to have him on Zoom.
He's got to be on Zoom. But he's got – got to get on the – say, bro, you got to get in town. You better get in town.
Sooner rather than later.
Yeah, you might want to leave and get
he
here.
He could drive, though, from there if he had to. But driving
well, he's going
might be,
to, but yeah.
Driving might be more treacherous than flying at this point.
Absolutely.
I mean, anybody that's ever done that I-90 corridor from Cleveland to Buffalo
– it's bad.
Erie's the worst stretch.
It's bad, bro.
Western PA, man.
It is bad, bad, bad down there from
you're
south
only in
of,
Pennsylvania yeah, for a
south
minute.
From south of Fredonia to north and south of Erie, you're in deep trouble. You got to –
it is unrelenting over there.
It's bad.
The lake effect snow.
Really
if you've
bad.
Ever driven through a lake effect snowstorm on the 90 in western PA there on that stretch between Ohio and New York
it's
State.
So bad.
Whoa.
It's so bad.
That will harden and give you experience as a bad weather driver like you've never had before.
Yeah.
I mean, the only people that might have better bad driving experience than you are mountain truckers. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's about it.
Ice road truckers.
Ice road truckers. That's what I was thinking of. Thanks.
Yeah, that's...
which is a heck of a show,
yeah,
by
so,
the way.
So, Daryl's got to get in town. We'll ask him.
We'll give him the memo at 2:30.
Yeah, we're going
to
talk
to him. Hey, you got a plan to get in here? Because you better hurry.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's at the house. You can come over.
Yeah.
Tell him he can stay. Everybody else stayed at my house.
He may have to bring his own cot at this rate, though.
That's a good point.
We are going to step aside here so we can give enough time to our ESPN fantasy football guru in the next segment, Field Yates, who's going to provide us with his ultimate fantasy lineup for Week 11, which, as always, is presented by FanDuel. We'll check in with Field next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, here we are, One Bills Live on a Thursday. Snow not quite flying yet here in Western New York, but it will be in due course. But we're not talking about that right now. What we are talking about is putting together your ultimate fantasy lineup with ESPN.com or ESPN's fantasy football guru, Field Yates, joining us here for Week 11 in his ultimate fantasy lineup presented by FanDuel. Make every moment more. Field! You got an all-star lineup for us this week?
I think so, gentlemen. I've got a lineup that can play in any weather, whether it's 4 hours or 4 feet of snow or 100 degrees and 100% humidity. This lineup has the winning mix.
All right.
All right. Let's hear it. Let's start with the quarterback, Joe Burrow, 8,300.
That's right. Yep. Joe Burrow gets the call here at starting quarterback, and he faces a familiar foe in the Pittsburgh Steelers who – had Joe's number all the way back in week one. They forced 5 turnovers. It was the worst day of his young career by far. I think he bounces back. We'll see whether or not Minkah Fitzpatrick is available. If he's not, that's certainly a big loss. But the Steelers have really struggled at that cornerback spot. I expect a bounce back effort for Joe Burrow against Pittsburgh on Sunday.
All right. Now, running back wise, you do have some guys that I could see grinding it out in snowy conditions. Not that they'll be facing that, since one of them's in Houston and the other one is in New England. I don't think there's snow forecast up there. You're kind of up that way. But you got some bruisers at the running back position this week.
Let's start with Brian Robinson for the Commanders, who normally I try to avoid because he has such a limited role in the passing game. That being said, this week is a unique exception because – the Texans are by far the worst run defense in the NFL. Like, it's not even close between them and the team that ranks 31st. We're talking about a 30-yard-per-game difference as far as rush yards allowed for the Houston Texans. So, good opportunity for Brian Robinson and the Commanders offense to once again control the game on the ground. He had a big game this past weekend, at least in terms of volume, with 28 carries plus a touchdown. Second running back slot goes to Ramondre Stevenson, and He's kind of emerged as the go-to Patriots back. Oftentimes, they have been much more of a committee, but he is much more of the man right now in the Patriots backfield, and not just the lead ball carrier, but also a very good pass catcher, which helps against a Jets defense that's very, very good along the defensive line.
And then I'm always fascinated to watch the three wide receivers you pick week in, week out. Sometimes you pair them up with your quarterback. Sometimes it's all about the matchup with the DBs. And this one, you've got one guy with Joe Burrow, your quarterback, and then the rest you went a different direction.
That's right. So we'll stack T. Higgins with Joe Burrow, operating under the presumption that there will not be Ja'Marr Chase in the lineup this Sunday. Sounds like he's a long shot at best to play for Cincinnati. Higgins steps into that number one wide receiver role against a Steelers secondary that I just mentioned a few moments ago. Very vulnerable. They're a thin at cornerback because of both injuries and, frankly, lack of talent. Meanwhile, the number two wide receiver in this lineup is Courtland Sutton for the Broncos, who I do not necessarily think that we will see Jerry Jeudy on Sunday. Raiders secondary, also quite vulnerable. Don't have a ton of talent yet. And that Raiders back end, they've been better up front, at least a little bit. But frankly, the Raiders defense has been bad across really every metric. And then last one is Adam Thielen, a guy who just keeps raking in the volume. He's priced at just $6,000 against the Cowboys. And we figure it'll be a lot of Stephon's younger brother, Trayvon Diggs, covering Justin Jefferson, which should open up some opportunities for Adam Thielen. The Cowboys recently had some depth tested at the cornerback spot, so it wouldn't surprise me if Minnesota is able to move the football effectively. That game will not be impacted by weather as it is being played inside Minnesota's dome.
Your tight end pick is a guy that people are looking for around this time of year, especially, you know, if they've got an injury at the tight end position, a guy that is thrust into the number one role due to an injury to a starter. I know one of my buddies picked this guy up last week, and he wasn't disappointed.
Yeah, it's Foster Moreau, who you're referring to, Brownie, and Darren Waller's out for at least three more games because of a hamstring injury, and Foster Moreau played basically every snap last week in Waller's absence. He did find the end zone. Obviously, the Broncos are very, very good in the secondary. One would expect, though, that Denver is going to allocate most of its resources to Davante Adams, right? Adams and Patrick Surtain II, one of the best individual matchups of the weekend. So Foster Moreau could be busy, priced at $5,600, which leads us right into our final two players, including a flex. It's Jamal Williams, and the Lions are a tricky one right now, guys, because Jamal has been probably the better running back for fantasy this season than DeAndre Swift because he's been healthy. Recently, though, Swift has returned to the lineup, but over the past two games, he played 9 snaps and then 18 snaps as he continues to be load managed because of both shoulder and ankle injuries. So it wouldn't surprise me if Jamal Williams once again leads them in rushing attempts on Sunday. Minimal value in the passing game, but because of FanDuel scoring, doesn't impact things as much. They play the Giants. That game is in New York.
I like
and
that.
Speaking of the game,
yeah, you're right.
That's our defense.
Yeah, you took the Giants defense, but this Jamal Williams is because the Giants aren't going to run off and leave the Detroit Lions. Their run game is still going to be a factor late in that game. Jamal Williams might even get more opportunities because of the matchup, correct?
That's right, Steve, because the Giants, they've won a lot of games this year. They're one of the best, if not the best, feel-good stories of the season at 7-2, but they don't win games 31-7. They win games 20-16 or, you know, one score games is really the name or the nature of their business. So I think that the Lions, even if they don't win, keep it close enough for Jamal Williams and even DeAndre Swift to get plenty of run. But the Giants defense is also appealing to me because, well, frankly, because they're cheap, $3,800. A defense that has played probably above its weight so far this season. Wink Martindale, their defensive coordinator, done a really good job for them in terms of maximizing talent. As a matter of fact, I'd say probably that's the theme of the Giants this season is maximizing pieces on both sides of the ball. Brian Daboll, Wink Martindale doing a really nice job of extracting as much as they can out of those 53 men on the roster. So the Giants defense rounds out my lineup, again, priced at just $3,800.
All right, that sounds good. I'll take that for week 11. Quick thoughts on Bills-Browns here, Field. I know we kind of gave you a sneak peek at what we're expecting forecast-wise on Sunday. The snow stopping, no accumulation, yes. So it looks like field conditions should be favorable. We know the run defense deficiencies of the Bills the past couple of weeks, although I think they shored some things up last week, the 81-yard run by Dalvin Cook notwithstanding. Sure. But Chubb's coming in here, and he's probably even better than Dalvin Cook. So yeah, how are you looking at this?
This game, I expect the Browns' game plan to be the exact same thing that the Commanders showed us on Monday night. If the Browns have any chance, they're going to have to be able to ground control and win the turnover battle against Cleveland like the Commanders did against Philly. They ran the ball 49 times. They forced 4 turnovers. So I think those are the two keys for Buffalo is lock up the running game and protect the football. The Bills are a far more talented team. And, you know, I know that Josh, there was a lot of uncertainty about whether he would start when an hour and a half before kickoff, he still wasn't warming up. But if you hadn't told me that Josh was dealing with something, I don't go back and watch that game and think to myself, he looks hurt. No, he looks fine to me. 330 passing yards and 84 rushing yards. Obviously the turnovers were a problem, but you know, Josh would be the first to tell you that those are A plays he can be better on. And I don't get the sense those are because of an elbow issue. So I think the Bills take care, hold serve. I think the Browns are going to try to slow the game down, but if they fall behind, they are simply not explosive enough to keep up with Buffalo.
Are there any axioms or absolutes that you look to when you're putting together a fantasy lineup when you get a game like Buffalo where the possibilities are you're playing in 6 inches of snow or, you know, that they're not going to, we don't think, but that kind of thing, what kind of consideration do you give that?
If we had a game that looked similar to the Indianapolis game of what was that,
17,
sorry. Then you might be benching every pass catcher because in that game, and obviously different level of quarterback, Josh is far superior to the quarterbacks in that game, but you know, the handoffs, more handoffs. So you'd feel better about Devin Singletary. You'd feel better about, I would think you'd feel better about Nick Chubb, and you already feel really good about Nick Chubb, but I would be looking to replace my pass catchers in that lineup because although it's a different time and different offenses and different personnel, I still don't think you're going to be able to throw the football nearly as effectively as you would under more normal circumstances, which based off of the meteorological report that you guys have shared with me, sounds like it could be in play this week.
Yeah, it's crazy. Tyrod Taylor was injured, could not play in that game. Nathan Peterman started for the Bills, got a concussion. Joe Webb finished the game at quarterback for the Bills, and the Colts quarterback was Jacoby Brissett, who will be back here on Sunday for the Browns. Pretty wild. Field, thanks as always, man. We appreciate the Week 11 lineup. We know everybody in the country is kind of hoping for a snow globe look here in Buffalo. I don't know that we're going to be able to deliver, but stranger things have happened. As we know, Western New York weather can change in a minute.
No question about it, gentlemen. Stay safe up there. And yeah, I'm preparing for anything. It could be 90 degrees by the time we get to kickoff on Sunday.
That, I can promise you, will not happen.
Take the under.
Yeah, take the under on that for sure. Thanks, Field. We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thank you.
All right, that's Field Yates from ESPN, your fantasy football guru with your ultimate fantasy lineup, presented by FanDuel. Make every moment more. It's amazing. Like, you think about the quarterback situation in that game in 2017, Steve. I mean, Nathan Peterman has to start. He's concussed in the game and has to be replaced by Joe Webb. And Joe Webb threw that prayer to Deontay Thompson at the end of the game. You remember that?
In that game, Jacoby Brissett was 11 for 22 for 69 yards and a TD. Nathan Peterman, 5 for 10, 57 yards and a TD.
He had the only touchdown pass in the game.
And Brissett had a touchdown pass.
Oh, he did. Okay.
And then Webb was 2 of 6 for 35 yards and one interception for a 14.6 rating.
But he did have quarterbacks, for sure.
2 of 6, the long one was
Deontay Thompson.
With Deontay Thompson that got him down close for a
Shady to run for the touchdown.
And
in
still,
overtime.
Still, the best running back I have ever seen in snow is LeSean McCoy, and it's not even close.
Yeah, he was.
He was an money. Unchanged yeah. runner on snow. I don't know how he does it. I still remember after the game, I said to him, I said, why are you able to cut almost the same way you are on a dry field in snow? And he said, I don't know. It's just the way I run.
I'll say this.
He had no, like, technique to it.
Yeah, but I get it, but I have never seen anybody play running back in a game like I saw. And, you know, I've never seen a game like that. That's a one of a – in my lifetime, I've never seen a
He's
game
cutting,
like this.
He's cutting, though. Like,
yeah, he did really well. It's so rare for the NFL to have to play a game in the kind of conditions in the Indianapolis-Buffalo game 2017 that we're watching it kind of right here. It's once in my 36 years have I seen a game like that, and that was it.
Yeah. My son was at
Now,
this...
did. I guess there was one in Cleveland, and I did that game too.
Yeah, the 8-0 game.
The 8-0 game.
Two field goals by...
And a safety.
I still can't believe... Oh, what was that kicker's name now? I'm not going to remember it for
Cleveland.
Oh,
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, Dawson. Phil Dawson. Thank you, Jay. Phil Dawson had two field goals in that game, and then the Bills had a safety because Brian Moorman had a snap thrown over
Sail
his head.
Sail over his head, yeah.
And he just kicked it out of the back of the end zone wisely. Mm-hmm. That game was nuts. Yeah. And I remember Bills fans the next week were really angry that Cleveland fans were – pelting them with snowballs and got a little ornery in the stands during that game.
Yeah. Well, there you
Cleveland
go.
Went to the playoffs that year with Derek Anderson as their quarterback. How about that?
Topsy-turvy year.
Pretty nuts.
Yeah.
We take a break here. When we come back, we'll have some more thoughts on this upcoming game, the weather, the division as it currently stands, and don't forget, our number two in studio, the Hall of Famer. Thurman Thomas, all coming your way here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, it is time now for us to turn to Sound Bits, presented by Tim Hortons. Josh Allen, Von Miller, and others sound off on the upcoming snowstorm that could have a major impact for them getting to work on Friday and Saturday, and maybe even the game on Sunday against the Browns.
We playing in snow?
On Sunday, yeah.
For real?
Yeah, a lot.
It snows here? No way. It snows in Buffalo, they didn't tell me that. When I saw it, man, they did not tell me that.
God does what God does, and snow is a part of us, so we're going to use that snow to our full advantage in all shapes and forms, and do whatever we have to do to get it dub.
Well, just the snow was fun. The surfaces might be different. Got to be ready for anything because the weather here, it could be anything. It could be an inch in a second, and then 20 like minutes later, it could be a foot and a half.
We got a lot of guys from Florida, a lot of guys from down south, out west even, that have never seen snow before. And I'll tell you, our development team does a great job. They equip them with scrapers and ice de-icing mechanisms.
The weather has been Buffalo, so I've been embracing it and just embracing the culture here.
Well, you don't know anything about Buffalo weather. Buffalo weather is coming, all right? That's on the way.
I have a lot of great resources here, like a punter and a great kicker who are experienced in this weather. Even last Thursday before the game, I kind of got the lay of the land from our special teams coach, Smiley. Mm-hmm. And it's been great just to have a lot of help. So anything I don't know, I will know by Saturday or Sunday. And I've been, like I said, the guys here have been great. The coaches here have been great. And I've had a lot of inside info that I knew I would not get just at another place.
I mean, you got to prepare the same way, no matter what it is. Obviously, you know, as it becomes closer to the game, as it becomes a factor, you may think about it a little bit. But I mean, you got to prepare like it's a normal game, because no matter what the weather forecast is, you know, when that ball snap, you got to be ready.
I mean, I guess there could be an advantage, but I just remember parting in that game. I guess guys were changing their cleats into the regular studs so that they weren't slipping. I mean, we're just going to have to see how it plays out. You know, it could change the way the game's played. I remember that's exactly what happened when we played the Colts. It changed the entire way the game was played. They came out heavy personnel, ran the ball. It was not a whole lot of pool schemes. It was more just kind of zone schemes, just trying to get the traction to be able to get downhill. So, we're excited about the opportunity to go play.
Yeah, I remember vividly walking in after warm-ups and then walking back out for the game, and I was walking next to Paul Sertizio, our security director, and And I saw the amount of snow already just in that amount of time that had lapsed between going in and coming back out. And I turned to him and I said, is this normal? And he goes, no. And I didn't have time to be like, well, like, tell me more, right? So, and then the rest was the rest, so.
I really think the only guy that was here maybe have been Dion and Trey. Someone said it was like 7 or 8 years to the date almost when that happened. So, yeah, well, I guess we'll find out.
So that is Sound Bits presented by Tim Hortons. And you heard a bunch of players there, among them, for our radio listeners, Nyheim Hines, who was talking about how he's trying to get acclimated as quickly as possible to the conditions here since he's been a Dome player in Indy. And he's an NC State alum and a North Carolina native. We also heard Jordan Poyer reminding us of what it was like in the snow game in 2017 that we were talking to Field Yates about, Bills Colts, and how everybody was changing to long studs to get better footing in 2 inches of snow. It'll be an adjustment if, in fact, there is measurable snowfall during the game, but the forecast is indicating that will not be the case. I think the biggest challenge will be getting to the stadium. And
yeah, they're calling it, in spots, and we all know this, way south and in the snow where the stuff hits is going to be deep snow, but it's supposed to, it's going to be knocked out by 7 a.m. Now I'm reading 7 a.m. on Saturday. I'll start the day off with a snow blower and get it.
That's almost 30 hours of snow removal time for the crews out here.
Now they may, and make sure you check before you set out for the stadium. They may hold the opening of the lots an hour or so later than they normally would.
Yeah,
or whatever.
They need more time.
Or they may open it earlier too. They may open some before others. That kind of thing. So keep your
Bills app.
Yeah, check the Bills app. To find out how that's going. And it may be a little bit of an abnormal thing, and people might not be able to park in their normal spots because
they got to put the snow somewhere.
All those houses on Orchard, on 20A and around the the Big Tree and Abbott, some of those places may not have snow removal at the kind they need to have 25 or 30 cars parking on their property. You know what I mean? So you might be parking.
That's a good point.
You might be parking someplace else this game than those normal mom-and-pop lots that we all use.
Yeah. It's more about getting here and getting settled than I think it is the game.
Yeah.
I think it's more about –
Here's what – let's do this,
the
Brownie.
Fans coming
you and
in.
Me, we'll come in. We'll get all our stuff set up, like, tonight. We'll bring it out. We'll get it all set up.
I got to bring it home.
Throw a tent over it. Throw a tarp over it, weight the tarp down, and then we'll just come back and just get under the tarp on Sunday morning.
Sure.
We'll do our thing.
I'm game for that. Do whatever we got to do. We got to be here, so make it happen.
Yeah.
We are going to take a break here because when we return, we'll be joined in studio by the Hall of Famer making his weekly appearance, Thurman Thomas, coming up next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
Here we are, hour number two on a Thursday. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, and the Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas joining us. Thurm, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Good to
man.
Have you. We should mention Thurman and his lovely wife Patty were honored at the Buffalo Urban League annual dinner last week. They received the Community Service Award, Steve.
Isn't that nice?
For their company doing great work here in the Buffalo community. So congrats to you and Patty Thurm.
Thank you very
well
much.
Well deserved.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was great, obviously, moving back here and retired
it gives you more of an opportunity to be in the community.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to come over here and work every single day. Well, you do. But
yeah, right.
As a player, but as a fan, as a former player, you know, I get to do a lot more things, you know, outside of football now. And, you know, and being in the community, that's one of the things that me, Patty, and my kids and my family and friends, that's something that we'll continue to do.
Yeah.
You know, wherever we are, you know. Right. Yeah, it's just – but Buffalo's home, man, and obviously with the – the events that happened on 514 has really kind of raised the stakes for everybody. And to be associated with the community, to do things to help people. Like, I was out there with the rookies yesterday.
Yeah, with the turkeys.
With the turkeys and everything. I've been going to that for the past couple of years, and it's fun. It's fun because I got to meet some of the rookies that I haven't met yet. And just being with them and talking to them and just – telling them, you know, this is what Buffalo is all about, you know, giving back to the community. And it was great. I had a great time with Haley Bean was there, Jamie McDermott. I mean, it was an awesome time.
Yeah, Thurman had most of his family there. Patty had a great speech after you guys received the award. My wife was like, that was a great speech. Because she not only encapsulated, I think, you know, what it means to your family to serve the community, but she kind of also wrapped up, you know, how the community has been affected by what happened on 514.
Yeah.
You know, with the people that senselessly lost their lives in the top shooting on Jefferson. So, yeah, you guys did a great job. So, kudos to you guys.
Thank you.
It was good to see it. Thurman, we got back-to-back losses here, man. The hell's going on?
I don't know. I'm looking at it from my standpoint. Back-to-back losses. We can get back-to-back wins going, I think.
Yeah.
If that's what you look at it, you have to.
You have to.
You can't fall back any farther than what you are right now, because I think, what, the five teams in front of you, you've lost to Miami and the Jets, mm-hmm. but you've also beaten Kansas City, Tennessee, and Baltimore.
Right.
So
if you can win your division, you're looking pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's winning the division, but I think, like, these next two games, because obviously he's playing Sunday and then coming back playing on a Thursday, and you know – the Detroit Lions, even they can be 0-15 or 0-8 at this point on Thanksgiving Day, and I think I played.
Yeah, they get up.
They get up. They play like the 85 Bears. Exactly. You know, I'm sure like Barry Sanders will be there, Megatron will be there. They'll bring out some of their guys that they've had over here, Chris Spielman, and so yeah. But I think these next two games are really important. You know what? Let's just get through this. Obviously, with playing Cleveland. You know, that's the game you want to look at first.
It's a really important stretch too, because if you could string them together, you got this game, you got a game Thursday, then the next Thursday you got New England in New England on a Thursday night game. If you could run that table and then get a little mini bye,
oh man, you're feeling good.
You get a chance to take a breath, you know.
And you still have to play Miami and the Jets, so it's still an opportunity to close that gap. So yeah, I mean,
Jets, Miami come up right after that. So it's
Steve and I were talking about it. Steve and I were talking about it on our podcast this week, Bills by the Numbers, which is out, by the way, if you want to check it out on your podcast platforms. Shameless plug there. But really, if you look at it now, Thurm, the outlook at this point, the focus has to be the division. You've got four division games left. You're 0-2 in the division right now.
Yeah.
They pretty much have to run that table. They got to run that table in the division now and win those four division games that they have left if they want to win the division, I believe.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. You are absolutely right about that.
But then at the same time, much to your point, which you said, you know, they lost two, they could just as easily win the next two in the snap of a finger. You know, after week 14, this team was 7-6 last year.
I know.
And then ripped off four in a row.
Right, ripped off four. Still got eight games to go.
Yeah.
We still got to – I love our chances. I love our chances because, hey, look, the first 5 weeks of the season or six, we were unstoppable. We were unstoppable. That's what we need to get back to. I was just thinking about at the start of the season, where were the little dinks and donks to Singletary? Those are gone right now.
Right.
Everything for this offense has changed so much. And even though in the last two games we've had the lead, and let it slip away.
How much do you see the changes in the offense tied to Josh's decision making? Is that the main reason we've seen the change we have, or do you see some schematic things or matchup things changing in the last couple of weeks?
I think it's mostly with Josh. Okay. I really do think it's mostly with Josh. I think, you know, he got to a point where he was comfortable at doing the things that he was doing. And all of a sudden you get with the Jets, you got a pretty good head coach as a defensive coordinator. There's some stuff. I mean, they drafted and did exactly what the Bills did. They started from the back end. Got two veteran safety, drafted two rookie corners, and got stronger. 8-man rush they got now with two packages. And then the game last week. I mean, it's I think it's been Josh. And I think he knows that. I mean, he's trying to win. You get like a 10-yard gain or whatever, and all of a sudden in the stands, you know, people are hollering MVP. Do that after you score a touchdown. You know what I'm saying? Don't do it after you do it for 10 yards.
Yeah.
Start screaming MVP, MVP.
Was somebody doing that last week?
Oh, yeah, they were doing it last week. Yeah, so, MVP, I mean, just let this guy just not be himself, but tell him like Josh. And I think one of the most important things that I think we're kind of missing now, I think Dable used to do that with Josh. When he would get in those
little back in.
Kind of reeling back in. I mean, Dorsey is a first-year guy. He's been with him for 3 years, but how much has he said to Josh that would affect? It's been Brian Dable, and I think, you know, if you're in the room with Josh, you know, Josh looking at you like first-year coordinator, yeah, I got this, buddy. Don't worry about
it.
Yeah, so, hey, Dorsey has to reel that in, man, and I think he can.
Well, here's what I keep going back to. Yeah, they lost two in a row. I get it. The Jets played very good. And a lot of teams would have lost to the Jets the way they played against the Bills. It's a good team, good effort by them. Tip your hat to them. The Bills have lost three games by a total of 8 points. And the record of those teams is 21-7. So they've lost to three winning teams by a total of 8 points. They are still the team we thought they were at the beginning of the year. Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
You can say what you want about the injuries and all of that, but they are the same team. And I said this earlier in this program today, and I said it yesterday, I've been saying it every day. If they don't turn it over, there's not too many teams that can beat them.
No.
There's not too many teams that can beat them because they're that good.
About that on the text.
I just got to remember. Yeah. They just got to remember who they're playing like it. They're a good football team. And I know it's easy for the fans and even us, you know, in our little text loop, you know, you forget, you know, how good they are. They're going to be that good.
Yeah.
And they're going to be that hard to beat.
They are going to be that hard to
beat.
And
if they don't beat themselves,
if you look at
their biggest opponent is out of the picture.
If you look at the power rankings now, you know, power rankings could be.
They're still there.
They're still right there. So the power rankings are even saying, we know how good you guys are. Because we haven't dropped you out of the top, what, six or seven or whatever it may be? Because any other team, if they didn't start off the way we did, they would probably be down 15, 16, 17 in the power rankings. But this team right here, I think guys, but I think all teams go through this throughout the national football. They all go through some type of period of like, oh, my God, we can't do anything right.
Yeah, Vaughn actually brought it up this week or right after the game on Sunday. He said, I get traded to the Rams. We lose three in a row.
Right.
He goes, we're 7-4. And then we fixed it, caught fire, go on the road, beat Tampa in the playoffs, you know, come home, beat this team, you know, and bang, they're in the Super Bowl. He said, you know, we kind of righted the ship, and then we caught fire, and we were really, like, killing it. I think he kind of believes that this team can do the same thing, much to your point, Thurman. Mm-hmm. What do we make, though, of the possibility of Cleveland trying to take the same approach that the New York Jets did 2 weeks ago? They have a running game that can support them in that fashion.
Oh, yeah.
If their defense can show up, which is a big if because this Cleveland defense, I think, has been disappointing. To a large degree, Browns fans were hoping, well, we got a rock-solid defense. We don't get Deshaun back till week 12.
Right.
But we've got a rock solid defense. If they can hold us in some games and we can stay around 500, you know, Deshaun comes back, we catch some fire, we win some games, maybe we get to the playoffs. That's out of the question now at 3-6. But they could play that kind of game. Run Chubb and then play solid defense and don't turn it over. And they probably feel like like Washington did last Monday night against the Eagles. They ran it 49 times and didn't turn it over and right. then got four turnovers. That helped.
And let me tell you something. Cleveland's going to come in here and run the football. I mean, that's kind of what they built on, even though they're, what, 3-6 or 3-7?
Right.
They are running the football.
What is it that's How so much? Impressive about Chubb's game, just, you know, from your running back perspective?
Man, the thing that impresses me, he can do it inside or outside. Mm. And when you have a guy that can – that, what is he, 6?
He's 5'11".
5'11".
He's about 220.
220.
And he can move.
Who can run between the tackles, and if he gets to the outside, can take it to the house. That's a dang, and he can catch a couple of screen passes, although they do save some of that for Kareem Hunt. But this guy has it all.
Yeah.
I think what's really telling is that they do, in the last couple of years, they do have a really decent offensive line.
It's very good.
It's very, very good. And depending on weather, I don't know how it's going to be, but I'm confident right now if Cleveland – we're going to run the ball if the weather's going to be bad, and I think it's to our advantage.
Derrick Henry said right. last week, Nick Chubb is the best back in the league. Derrick Henry said
Derrick that. Henry said that. Yes, he did. I do remember that. He said that. So I think that right there shows a lot about the explosiveness of Nick Chubb and what he's – I yeah. think
– That's an Alabama guy saying that about a Georgia guy. That doesn't happen.
That don't happen
he's got
at all.
He's got 900 yards rushing on 160.
And that's probably more than how many teams in the yeah. National Football League
yeah.
right now.
He's
at least he's 16 or 17.
He's getting it done, and they're not hesitant.
Not shy away
yeah, they're giving it to him. The one thing that I've noticed too is the Bills' defense. One of the reasons, and people fret over their run defense, and that at times, like the last, you know, they give up the explosive play last week. Other than that, yeah. do a really nice job.
Mm-hmm. Real nice job.
But those, you know, those runs count. Those big runs count. One of the things I've noticed about the Bills team is that. We always talk about complementary football, where your defense plays good, your offense plays good. But one of the benefits this defense has gotten is the fact that, you know, last week, for instance, against the Vikings, it's 24-10 at half.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bills are running it up
yeah.
On these teams. And it's hard for other teams to kind of hang in there and keep handing it off. And the Bills play to that. I talked to Leslie Frazier in the offseason. He goes, what do teams do? I mean, because they try and get you out of that nickel defense. And you won't. He goes, I know. He goes, I know. He goes, it really bothers guys that they can't pry us right. out of our nickel defense.
They can't. No,
they want to try and get other people on the field, and they don't do it. A little bit of that has to go to Josh in the offense for giving them the ability to know that sooner or later they're going to have to throw. Like the Green Bay game.
Yeah.
By the time Green Bay got down close enough to score, it's like, yeah, go ahead and run it. We don't care.
Right.
Because you just ran out of time.
Yeah.
So some of the run defense has to be given, the credit has to be given to Josh yeah. Allen and Steph Diggs in the offense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously when you run the football, you're limited amount of chances that the Bills offense are getting ready to go out there on the football field. But, take your hat off to our offense. I mean, we've done – what we're supposed to be doing, just in the last two games, we haven't completed the task of closing teams out. And you can say, yeah, it's offense or defense or whatever, but, hey, look, you're playing out there as a team. You got to know what's going on out there. And like I said, we very well could be 8-1 right now. Very well could be 8-1 right now. We wouldn't even be having this conversation about, oh, they should run the ball more, or they should –
right,
real Josh in or whatever, because we should be 8-1, but right now yeah. we're going
and
the one, opposite
it's fun,
way.
Interesting because the one victory I'm taking it for granted. You should have won the Vikings game and you should have won that first Miami game. The loss you think you probably should have taken was the Jet game.
Yeah,
because that's the team that really played.
They deserved it.
Yeah. In the Miami game, it's 900 degrees on our sideline, and we got guys falling all over the place. We can't even huddle up.
They went into the game with half a roster.
We threw it 63 times.
Right.
How many times are you going to get the wide receiver to run 9 routes?
That's right.
You can't do that.
And then for the Minnesota game, I mean, they had 3 plays to end it, and all 3 of them went catastrophically wrong. So, yeah, they could very well be 8-1. Yeah. They're not. But that's how good they are. Yeah. Then if they get and you know, they got to play like that, and so when we come in here in these overreaction Mondays, whenever you know I got buddies.
I know that's why I push mine back to Thursday.
Right? You don't want to come in on Monday no more, right? Fair enough. People coming. I got a buddy of mine. It's kind of jokingly. He goes, "I'm done. I am done. The Sabres can't win a game."
He said he was done with pro sports.
The Bills can't win a game. The Sabres can't win a game. I am done. I am not. I haven't even watched golf. He goes, "I'm done with pro sports. I'm totally done." Kind of laughingly, but
that was his knee-jerk reaction.
Right.
Yeah.
The Bills aren't in a spot where they, even with two straight losses, to say, all right, we got to do A, B, and C. Yeah. And it's not. They just got to do what they do better.
It's not one of those calls for, hey, we need to have a players-only meeting. It's not called for
we had
that.
We had a fan do that today. Oh, really? He says, hey, what about one of those meetings where it's just players, nobody? No. I'm like,
You don't need that at this point. No, I think they're fine. Coach McDermott is probably like, yeah, things have not gone well for us in the past 2 weeks. And he's probably been catching a lot of heat also, too. But you know what? I guarantee you he knows, Leslie Frazier knows, Brandon Bean knows, that we still got one of the top teams in the National Football League, and we just need to turn it around.
I'll say this. I did an interview, saw an interview by Tony Dungy after they had lost a championship playoff game when Peyton Manning was there, as they were going high, and everybody kind of had Super Bowl expectations. Right. I think it might have been before they won their Super Bowl. He lost a playoff game, and they were bummed. And he goes, what are you going to do? How are you going to get better? He goes, we just need to do what we do, but just do it a little better. He said, and that's the right philosophy. The Bills are who they are, and if they do what they do as well as they are capable of doing, everything will work out for itself in their favor.
Let's talk about scoring points in the second half, which has been a problem. Their last time they scored a second-half touchdown was Week 6 at Kansas City, the game-winning touchdown pass to Dawson Knox. That's the last second-half touchdown they've scored. Is it – I don't know if anything sticks out to you. Is it a matter of – you go into the locker room at halftime. Obviously, you might make some adjustments if you feel you need to, but the Bills usually have strong first halves. Maybe they don't change all that much.
Right.
The opponent changes because they're down on the scoreboard. That's the time when your staff has to readjust, right? Once the third quarter begins?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's – I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus. I'm just openly wondering, is it a readjustment that's not happening there that's causing it, or is it just strictly the players just aren't executing come quarter three, quarter four?
Well, I think, when we jump out to such a great start in the first half, I'm sure whoever defense is there, they adjust. So we have to adjust. We can't just keep doing the same old thing.
Right. I'm not.
I think we have to adjust in some way, shape, or form. As an offense, we have to adjust to whatever they're – I know somebody sees it.
Yeah, I would say –
somebody sees it on the football field that – they're doing something totally different than they did in the first half. Then, you have to understand it, and you have to be, as an offensive side, you have to be prepared to say, okay, we saw this in week three when they played so-and-so. This is what they're doing. So here are the plays that we need to start running now. All that stuff should be back in the back of your mind.
Yeah, and I think, too, that even though it's been a while, I mean, it's been the Packers, the Jets, and now the Vikings, though they haven't scored a second-half touchdown, I don't know that you can make a generalizing statement as to why each game went that way.
Right. True.
I think some of it had to do with the play, like, the interceptions, the turnovers in the last couple
of
weeks.
That's one of the constants throughout that three-game stretch, second-half turnovers.
That has a lot to do with it. And I don't know that has so much to do with the adjustments that the coaching staff's making.
Well, that's why I put it to you guys.
Maybe you can make the argument maybe in the Packer game or whatever when it was a little bit different and the Packers were doing some stuff. So I don't think there's one generalized reason why the second half touchdowns have dried up for the Bills. Except, first and foremost, even Thurman will say this, me as former players, you look at guys like us first. You look at the players first. Like, what's going on with these guys? Why haven't you executed? Because nobody's not planning on scoring touchdowns.
Yeah. Right.
And then from there, if you got guys who nobody's really playing bad or whatever, and there's no egregious mistakes out there that you're going, oh, well, this is the reason or that's, then you can look at the scheme and what other teams are seeing. But I don't know that they're to that stage yet. I'm sure there's no way you can convince me that Ken Dorsey and the defensive and his staff, who watched Brian Daboll do it for the last 4 years, and are looking at Leslie Frazier and the defensive side, who are always changing things up, that they aren't doing the same thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Oh,
I know it's taken a lot for granted.
Yeah,
But I think that's a safe bet that they got that. That's the process, you know. The process.
Well,
you
I mean, we're going to have to see it here against Cleveland.
Yeah.
Good weather or bad weather, we're going to have to see better performances first. I mean, if you can score a touchdown every quarter, 28 points, I'm betting 9 times or 10 out of 10 times we can win that football game. That's a touchdown a quarter.
Sure.
In the last couple of games, we haven't done that. Mm-hmm. A field goal, just points on the board would be something better than turnovers.
Yeah,
they've all been in the red zone.
The turnovers are the crusher. You can't outplay turnovers.
Yeah. Six of Josh's last 8 turnovers have been in the red zone.
It's been in the red zone. I mean,
and
he's leading the league in interceptions. Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, but in the last couple of games, that's where that number has grown in the red zone, where we don't need that to happen.
Exactly. We've had calls this week. Fans are impatient. They want to see more. Hold on. They want to see more from Nyheim Hines, and they want to see more from James Cook. They're just not getting the snaps right now. Coach has been asked about it. He said, look, Nyheim Hines is still getting up to speed, and it is hard to drop in the middle of the season and know the playbook. But Cook's been here since day one. If you want to diversify the running game, do you diversify the personnel or do you diversify the play calling in the run scheme?
I think depending on the weather this week, we go back to the weather. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know which way you go. I really don't.
It could be either.
It could be either. Yeah. It all depends on.
Well, maybe both.
Well, I don't think it's both. I mean,
For one reason, I would love to see one of our running backs be the leading rusher in the game.
Yeah.
How about I put it that way?
Maybe.
That would be nice.
Before we go, I know we're running out of time. Show the thermos here, the thermos Thomas.
This is the thermos Thomas.
Just the thermos
Thomas. Yeah, from the TikTok video.
From the TikTok video.
Shannon got that made.
They got it made.
That's not for you to take.
That's Thurman's.
Oh, what?
No, that's not for you to take.
No?
That's Shannon's.
They just.
Wait a minute, so you just.
No.
Just taking over my rights?
Yeah. Yes.
Steve, that was a rather unilateral decision that you just made there.
What?
I mean, he's got his own – it's got Thurman's face on the dang thing. Just let him take
it
home.
That's from the TikTok video, too. That's pretty good.
It is pretty good.
He can give it to Patty. She can bring it with her when she's away from Thurman.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Patty.
I'm sure Patty really needs a thermos with Thurman's face on it. That's tops on her Christmas list right there.
Oh, yeah. That's a stocking stuffer, Thurman. There you go.
I love it.
She'll love it.
Come on. I know you well enough to know that she's laughing at that.
Yeah, the kids and everybody are laughing.
That'll be in the attic so fast.
Yeah, no doubt.
At the very least, it's a good – gag gift. Yeah. Come on.
But she's doing well. You know, she's she has an art exhibit down at
I saw it on Instagram.
Yeah, BAM.
Yeah.
Run through the week. It's only weekends all the way from December the 18th. So stop.
And
out
where
there.
Is that?
At BAM.
Okay.
You just put up BAM and it'll come.
Buffalo Art Museum.
Yeah, there you go. Buffalo Art Museum. I'm supposed to be an art guy, and I can't even think of Buffalo Art Museum. Yeah,
stick with me.
Yeah. Only on the weekends through December 18th, go down there and look at our beautiful art.
All right. Thanks for letting us know.
Always promoting my babe.
Good seeing you, man.
That's Bills Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas joining us.
Been buying up bread and eggs because Brownie went to the store. There was none left.
I go to the grocery store last night. I'm not even joking. Like, Western New Yorkers, when a storm comes, you know, you pick up a few things at the store, you know, in case you get marooned for a day or two at the house. All right, we got enough of what we – I went in there. Like, the shelves are empty. There's no bread. There's no eggs. I was like, I guess people are eating egg salad sandwiches for the next two weeks.
You all set up at your
Thurm,
house.
It was the response you expect in Atlanta when 2 inches of snow is coming.
Right.
Not in Buffalo. We're used to this stuff. I was shocked. I didn't know what to think.
I got a nice little grocery store down in my –
right there,
area where I live. Oh yeah, it's always
snow machine.
It's
snow
always
machine to get there.
Stuff on the always stuff on the shelf.
That's great.
They restack it and restack it. Yeah, it's good. We
good stuff.
We're good and we're good.
All right, deal.
Travel
that's Thurman,
safe.
That's Thurman Thomas, the Hall of Famer, joining us. We have the Hall of Famer step aside to make room for a Wall of Famer coming up next. Ooh. This week's legend of the game, Daryl Talley, coming your way next here on One Bills Live, presented by Collada Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Pleased to be joined now by this week's legend of the game. It is Bills Wall of Famer, Daryl Talley. when the Bills host the Browns on Sunday. Legend of the Game is presented by the BFLO Store, the official retailer of the Buffalo Bills. Download and visit the Bills app and enter for a chance to win a $250 BFLO Store gift card and a signed Daryl Talley football. Daryl of East Cleveland is here for Bills Browns. Say It Ain't So. How are we doing, Daryl?
Doing well. It's so.
Well, I'm glad. Thanks for coming on with us. I got to tell you, we're worried about you making the trip in. Are you going to drive from Cleveland or are you going to fly?
Drive.
All right.
There's no way I'm flying.
When are you gonna leave? Because he may get snapped off.
Saturday morning.
Bro, you have
I'm going to wait on it. I'm going to wait on it to pass for tonight and tomorrow and get up Saturday morning to have at it. Yeah. Because let's put it this way. Northeastern Ohio and the New York State Thruway do a pretty good job of keeping the roads clear. And they say the worst of it's going to be tonight and tomorrow morning early. So I figured by midday they'll be able to clean the roads off. It won't be that bad.
Sounds like a plan to me, Steve. I think it's a well put together plan.
Yeah, I'll see you Tuesday.
Steve has no faith.
You ain't going to make it. You are not going to make it.
He's got no faith.
I got a hundo that says you don't make it. I got it. No.
You got it.
No.
Done.
I shouldn't have said that. Because Daryl walked.
Done.
For $100, Daryl walked. He walked to Buffalo.
Daryl, I'm telling you right now, he wasn't even convinced you were going to connect with us on Zoom.
Yeah,
let alone get here on Sunday.
I thought for sure the Zoom would give you problems, but you made it.
It did give me problems, but I did make it.
He did make it. See,
all right, I'll tell you.
I have a little more faith.
You got all the way till Sunday at 1:00. All right, okay. Good luck, bro. Travel safe.
I got Sunday at 1:00, right?
Yes. Yeah. Travel safe.
I will do that, bro.
Yeah, you got that in the bag.
And I got your hundo waiting on you if you show up.
I'll be sitting there. Hey, I'll be coming in looking for my bin now.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. I got you.
And probably a cigar.
And
right?
If you listen, have one with you in case if your frozen stiff body is next to the throat.
Oh, don't say, come on now.
Have it in your hand.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to go with it in my hand. Because I'll squeezing it tight.
I'll pull it right out of the casket.
Oh, wow.
We know that.
Because I know that's the only way you won't show up.
Why did this? How did this?
That went dark. This, I apologize. This, I didn't mean to get that dark.
How did
dark.
This devolve into
I'm
a
sorry.
Locker room conversation?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get flipping about it. But I hope you make it. I hope you make it.
Okay.
I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna make it. Right. I'll be there.
All right.
So let's talk a little bit about this one, Daryl, because you know that Cleveland's got a pretty good run game that they bring in here. It looks like conditions will be favorable enough where we'll have a clean field on Sunday. That figures to help the Bills more than the Browns, because then the passing game can kind of take flight and do what it usually does. But what about the bounce back element in this one for the Bills? Because you drop two straight and people worry about the team pressing. When you guys would drop, like the rare occurrence when you drop two in a row, how do you kind of stay even keeled and not press in a game and try to do too much? Kind of let the game come to you. How do you stay there?
Well, what we did was we just went out and played, but what we would do is in between the losses or on the losses, we'd argue with each other and tell each other what we didn't do and find out what we could do to correct what we were doing and made sure we had better communication so that if the communication was the problem, we straightened that out and got that straight. So we took every little piece of it. Plus, we had a bunch of guys that were very argumentative that wanted to win. And when you didn't do your job, we let somebody know. That's why they called us the Bickering Bills, because we bitch at each other if we didn't get what we needed done. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so this – and a game like this, though, too, and we go back and we look at the 2017 game against the Colts where it was 6 inches or 7 inches of snow on the ground. You can't really get anything done offensively anyway. Why? Because I've been on that field too, and I remember a playoff game where it was snowing at the beginning. It was between us and Miami, and it was a snowstorm, and all of a sudden it ended up 41-31, right? I mean, all of a sudden, you know, they could still throw the football, Marino and Kelly, And instead of being a slog fest, it was a shootout, and there were 72 points scored. What's the difference?
Difference is, only thing I can say are the individuals that are doing it. Because some guys can play in the cold, some can't. Some are afraid of the weather, and some aren't. That's it. I really think it boils down to mind over matter, as far as me concerned. Some guys, it may bother. Me, I try and adjust my feet, adjust the shoes I'm wearing, and go for it. Let's say, Stevie will tell you, our visitor sideline used to be the slick side of the field.
Yeah.
So every time you knew when you got to that side, you had to get you had to have shoes on that would not allow you to slide on that side of the field.
Right.
And worry about how your feet getting stuck on the other side.
Right. I remember that. So they had the turf, the grain, the fibers of the turf were all slanted towards the visitor side, the sunny side of the stadium, the visitor side. And if you wanted to run an offensive play that you had to cut back, you always ran it to the home side because you'd be going into the fiber instead of away from it.
Oh.
And if you went the other direction, well, it depended on which direction you were headed, obviously, but you went to that side of the field if you had to have a cutback.
Never knew that.
And if you went to the visitor side, you knew you better just kind of go ahead and run out of bounds, because if you tried to plant, your foot was going to give way. Right?
Bye-bye.
Right. And and you remember, too, that the logo in the middle of the field was paint. It was like plastic.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, it was plastic.
Yeah, so you couldn't stand on that either if it got wet. So all that stuff makes a difference.
Daryl, I wanted to ask you, because I don't think I've had the opportunity to do this, but I'm really curious to get your thoughts as a former linebacker on the two guys that are on the field all the time for the Bills in Milano and Edmonds, and the transformation of the requirements of the linebacker position, which has become almost a full-time coverage position with the way the league is going right now. I mean, yes, you still have to play the run front, but you know what I'm saying. There's a lot more coverage responsibilities through the course of a game for linebackers nowadays than even when you guys played. What about these two, Edmonds and Milano?
I think they're both playing well. My thing is, I would be a little more aggressive at it, but from what I've seen, both of them have played very, very well this year. I mean, Milano started out, he could have had three interceptions in one game, I think.
Right.
So, you know, I'm looking at that. He's playing well. Trumaine is actually making plays where he's off the ball, and that's where he's best at, is off the ball and then coming downhill. He makes a lot of plays. I've seen him make more plays this year in the backfield or at the line of scrimmage, in the backfield, than at the line of scrimmage. So that's a good thing for me when I look at him play, because I think a guy like that needs to be going forward and be attacking and using his arms, and therefore he can do that. Milano's a little smaller. He's a little more shiftier, and he gets his and done in space.
Let me ask you this, too, because I realize schemes change, techniques change, and all of that stuff. More often than not, Edmonds and Milano are about 3.5 yards from the line of scrimmage, which maybe people from your time would consider very.
No, they're a little further back.
Now they are? Okay. Because last year, a lot of 3.5 yards.
They're a little further back than we.
Okay. Where would you usually typically line up?
It depends on if it was first or second down, I'm within 3 yards.
Yeah.
Then when it came to third down, I was 4.5 yards deep.
Okay.
4.5 to 4 yards deep.
Okay. Where is the danger zone that would run the risk of cutting you off from scraping over the top? You got to be where to still be able to scrape effectively.
Oh, well, then there's a few things that has to transpire in that, because number one, if you're playing close to the line of scrimmage and the defensive linemen aren't playing gaps, they're running to their responsibilities, they're not playing gaps in spots, you're going to have a problem. Because if they're running and you're running, then somebody's going to get pushed by. So I understand they have a front that's running and they try and mesh the linebackers in with them.
Right.
But the way that we did it, we had gaps. We played gap control defense. And basically you knew where you had to be. And if somebody got pushed out of their gap, there was this huge cutback lane, which is what you see with a lot of runs this year. I mean, now in football, because everybody's running, there's no more read step or anything like that, or looking at the back before getting your pickups that way. I don't understand what they're doing or why they run right now. I would take a read step, then run, because both of them were fast enough to get to the edge. So I don't understand that. And maybe it's that I have him playing slower. I have a guy playing behind the ball a little bit so that when he gets there, he can just take the guard, mash him, or whomever, and mash him back into the hole and then run with the running back to the sideline. Therefore, I clog up the hole that would be the cutback and make him go outside.
So you spill.
But the way the defense is going now, everything is contained. They're pulling everything up with the defensive ends.
Right.
And everything has got to be inside out from what I'm seeing. Whereas we bounced everything to the outside. Everybody knew force it to the sideline. We've got more speed to the sideline than you have going to the sideline.
Yeah. Yeah. Daryl, all right, I'm telling you again, good luck. Travel safe when you get up here. I look forward to seeing you on Sunday. If I do see you on Sunday, I'll have a Benjamin for you. I think I'm going to be able to keep it, though.
I'm coming to get my Ben.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm coming to get my Benny and my cigar.
Yeah. I got both for you. I got both for you. All right.
All right. We look forward to seeing you up here. Daryl, safe travels, all right? Be smart.
Look forward to you guys. All right. See you later.
Bills Wall of Famer Daryl Talley joining us here on One Bills Live. Now you know why I wanted to crawl in his head a little bit.
Yeah.
Once you get him going on X's and O's, did you hear how quickly he slid into that?
He started looking off into the distance and just thinking, you know, yeah, they get into that trance and they yeah. That's a guy that played a long time at
that's a guy that Bruce Smith credits with teaching him a lot of the X's and O's.
Yeah.
How to read film, study film, execute, all of that stuff. And the favorite thing that Daryl used to say during the games that I still like to this day, when he used to try to fire up Bruce to go get a sack, go get me some heat, meat. That's what he used to tell Bruce on the field. Get me some heat, meat. Yeah. He called him meat. Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe
those
you do.
Guys, I,
no.
No.
Okay. Fair enough. We got to take a break here because we got to wrap things up when we come back here on One Bills Live. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. And we're going to take a little trip down memory lane here, Steve.
Yeah.
2017, Bills Colts, the snow game.
Snow game.
You're working for CBS on the sidelines. Look at you.
Yeah, I am. It was bad, though. it was bad. It was so – I remember I did one of the hits I did in the second half. Bless their heart, they had the crew with the snow – they had the – leaf blowers they were trying to blow
up. Yeah, to blow off the lines.
Then they also had shovelers, right? Those poor guys, they were gassed.
Well, the look on your face looks like they had you shoveling. You look pretty exhausted there.
No fun. Look at that. I got snow accumulating on my shoulders, everything.
How many layers did you have on for that? Do you remember?
I was good, though. I was ready for it. I had, you know.
What do you usually put in? Do you put the hand warmers in your boots, too, as well as your...
Not in the boots I had, no. I had good ones. I had ski pants and a base.
Oh, that's right. You and your
layer.
Boys do the hiking.
I had a base layer, a pair of pants, and then I had a ski pants over that. Base layer up top, sweatshirt, parka, you're good, and then gloves. It was so bad. It was so bad. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
And it was coming down really hard and fast.
There's a photo of my son and my brother-in-law who were at that game. There's snow accumulation on their shoulders.
Oh, yeah. It was epic.
That's how heavy.
Absolutely epic. And let me tell you something. The networks don't want this game to move, and they want it to be just like that.
They do.
People can't wait to watch that stuff.
Big show tomorrow, as always, on Friday. Greg Cosell and Micah Hyde in here tomorrow. We'll see you at 1:00.